Almighty Yahweh, Heavenly Father, we humbly bow our hearts before your throne of grace, thanking and praising your name, Father. We ask, Father, that your will would be done in our lives, that you would truly bless your servants. Help us, Father, to overcome the problems and the issues of this life. Strengthen your servants and cause each one of us, Father, to do that which is right in your sight. Open our hearts that we might receive the implanted words that you prepared for us this day. We love you, Father. We thank you for all that you've done for us. And we thank you, Father, for the blessings that you've given us each and every day. Help us, Father, to be mindful of each and every one of those blessings. Help us as we pray to you, as we speak to you on a daily basis, Father. You know even before we ask the things that we have need of. And Father, you do come through each and every time for each and every one of us. We just have to be patient enough to see it. So thank you, Father, for Yahshua the Messiah, for the blessings. Help us to be able to change our focus and our vision, to be able to see you like Yahshua sees you, to understand you like Yahshua understands you, so that we can be elevated from an earthly mindset to a spiritual mindset, so that we would understand and be one with you as Yahshua is one with you, as we prepare our lives, Father, for the Passover memorial, which is soon coming. Help us, Father, that we would be more like Yahshua in giving our lives for you. In Yahshua's holy name, we ask all these favors and blessings. Hallelujah. Yahweh is good, brethren. That's the title of this message. And the response to that is all the time. So when I say Yahweh is good, you say all the time. So Yahweh is good.
All the time.
And all the time, Yahweh is good. So that's the response to that. Okay. What does it mean to Tebow? Tim Tebow is the quarterback for the Denver Broncos. He is known for his prayer pose after he scores a touchdown. He is a Christian who was homeschooled but allowed to play football in Florida for one of the local high schools with great success. He led the University of Florida to two national championships. And then was drafted by the Denver Broncos to the NFL. But the rap against him still is he can't play at that level. He was given a chance and led his team to the playoffs for the first time in a while with great controversy. Every time his detractors said he can't do it, he did. He has millions of naysayers, but he keeps on faithfully putting them to silence. I wish more of Yahweh's people had this kind of faith. One of the sisters asked me what more she could do for the faith this week, and I gave her some thoughts of ways she can help. But truly, Yahweh gave her the ability to lift up my spirits after being down this past week. Without her knowing it, she encouraged me greatly, inspired me to move on and serve Yahweh with greater dedication. Having some technical problems with the computer. which I'm going to try to solve real quick. So bear with me.
So something is not responding. So we got to close it. Okay, we got that taken care of. Now, again, like I said, the sister lifted my spirits after being down this path week. Without her knowing it, she encouraged me greatly and inspired me to move on to serve Yahweh with greater dedication. What I'm saying is that Yahweh is leading us for his honor and glory. Tim Tebow doesn't know Yahweh the way we do, but he is not ashamed to show he loves his mighty one in public or anywhere else. Daniel, the prophet, despite the edict to not pray to anyone but the idol that was set up by King Nebuchadnezzar, did not fear the king, but continued to fear Yahweh and was blessed for it. He changed the nation that was in idolatry to worshiping Yahweh. Let's turn to Daniel chapter 6 for our opening passage, opening scripture. And we're going to start there in verse 10. It's Daniel 6:10. It says, "And when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house. Now his windows were open in his chambers toward Jerusalem, and he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his Elah, as he did before time." In other words, he didn't change a thing. Even after the edict that was written that you're not supposed to pray or make a petition to any mighty one for 30 days. This is in Daniel 6, verse 7. Okay? And his enemies knew that the only way that they could find something to go after Daniel would be with his mighty one. In verse 11 it says, "Then these men assembled together and found Daniel making petition and supplication before his Elah." Well, we know Elah is short for Elohim, which is mighty one. "Then they came near and spoke before the king concerning the king's interdict. 'Have you not signed an interdict that every man that shall make petition to any Elah or man within 30 days, save to you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions?' And the king answered, the thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which alters not. Then they answered and said before the king that Daniel, who is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regards not you, O king, nor the interdict that you have signed, but makes his petition 3 times a day. Then the king, when he heard these words, was severely displeased." "And set his heart on Daniel to deliver him." He wasn't displeased that Daniel broke the commandment that was given by the king. He was displeased because he was worried about Daniel. "And he labored till the going down of the sun to rescue him. Then these men, the enemies, assembled themselves together to the king and said to the king, 'Know, O king, that it is a law of the Medes and Persians that no interdict nor statute which the king establishes may be changed.'" For 30 days, we have to live with this. You have to, enforce it because you signed it. "Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spoke and said to Daniel, 'Your mighty one, your Elah, whom you serve continually, he will deliver you.'" Now this is the king, okay? "And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his rulers, that nothing might be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep fled from him. So he fasted for Daniel because he loved Daniel. He cared for Daniel. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste to the den of lions. And when he came near to the den, to Daniel, he cried with a lamentable voice. He was really moved. The king spoke and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living Elah, the living mighty one, is your Elohim, your Elah, your mighty one, whom you serve continually, able to deliver you from the lion? Then said Daniel to the king, O king, live forever. My Elah has sent his angel and has shut the lion's mouth, and they have not hurt me, because as before him, innocency was found in me. And also before you, O king, have I done no hurt. Then was the king very glad and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no man of hurt was found upon him because he had trusted in his mighty one, in his Elah. He didn't worship the idols as the people of the world do and the people around us. And the king commanded, and they brought those men that had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives, and the lions had mastery of them and broke all their bones in pieces before they came to the bottom of the den. Then King Darius wrote to all the peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that in all dominion of my kingdom, men must tremble. They tremble and fear before the Elah of Daniel, before Yahweh, for he is the living Elah and steadfast forever in his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even to the end. He delivers and rescues, and he works signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who has delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Daniel trusted in Yahweh because he is the living Elohim. And people of the world worship idols. They do. People of the world worship idols.
Yeah, they do.
Now, brethren, Yahweh is good.
All the time.
And all the time, Yahweh is good. See, we have to understand that regardless of where we find ourselves in life, Daniel was in captivity. He went into the Babylonian captivity, okay? So he was like in prison to a certain extent, but he was like, he was the second in command under Babylon. And even when the Persians took over, he still had a great position. So he was free to do a lot of things, but he was still under subject to someone else. But he kept his faith in the living El, in Yahweh, which we have to do, brethren. Turn to Psalm 17. We know that our kingdom is not of this world. It's soon coming. And Psalm 17 is a prayer of David. In verse 1, it says, hear the right, O Yahweh. Attend to my cry. Give ear to my prayer that goes not out of feigned lips. It doesn't go out of fake lips, people who are pretending, who are not serious about serving Yahweh. Let my sentence come forth from your presence. Let your eyes look upon equity. You have proved my heart. You have visited me in the night. You have tried me and find nothing. I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. As for the works of men, by the word of your lips, I have kept myself from the ways of the violent. My steps have held fast your paths. My feet have not slipped. I have called upon you, for you will answer me, O El. Incline your ear to me and hear my speech. We want Yahweh to hear our prayer, brother. Whenever we go before him, whenever we, you know, pray to him, not just because we have need of certain things, we want to be healed of this, or we want this blessing. You know, we have to learn to count each and every blessing that Yahweh gives us. Like I said, Tebow will score a touchdown and he goes into his prayer pose. And it's become very, very popular among young people. If you ask anybody who is young about Tim Tebow, they can tell you who he is and what he does. Okay? So that's a powerful image that is throughout the, you know, country here, and probably outside the world are probably people who know who he is as well. But what we want to do is we want people to know who the living El is, who Yahweh is, through our life, through the goodness that he has shown us. Okay? Show in verse 7, your marvelous loving kindness, O you who saves by your right hand them that take refuge in you, from those that rise up against them, like those that rose up against Daniel. They were destroyed. And you have to understand this, that any time you try to dig a hole for somebody to fall in or you roll in a stone, it's going to come back to you. You have to understand that we have to learn to love our enemies, brethren. We have to learn to overcome this world, every aspect of it. Verse 8, keep me as the apple of the eye. Hide me under the shadow of your wing from the wicked that oppress me, my deadly enemies that compass me about. They are enclosed in their own fat. With their mouth they speak proudly. They have now compassed us in our steps. They have set their eyes to cast us down to the earth. See, those who hate you, those who don't like you, you don't have to worry about them. You just have to love them. Yahweh will take care of them. Vengeance is mine, says Yahweh. It's not for us to worry about other people and their sin. We're supposed to love them. That's all. Try to bring them to Yahweh. They have now compassed us in our steps. They have set their eyes to cast us down to the earth. He is like a lion that is greedy of his prey, and as it were a young lion lurking in secret places. Who? Arise, O Yahweh. Confront him, cast him down. Deliver my soul from the wicked by your sword, from men by your hand, O Yahweh, from men of the world whose portion is this life. Our portion is not this life, brethren. Our portion is the kingdom to come, and whose belly you fill with your treasures. They are satisfied with children and leave the rest of their substance to their babes. As for me, I shall behold your face in righteousness. This is what David is saying to Yahweh. I shall be satisfied when I awake with beholding your form. So David is looking forward to being in the kingdom. But you know what? Yahweh called more than just David. Turn to Ezekiel chapter 8. He called Israel, all Israel. We know Israel stands for overcomers, those who overcome with El. We're going to start in verse 7. Ezekiel chapter 8, verse 7. And he brought me to the door of the court. And when I looked, behold, a hole was in the wall. Then said he to me, O son of man, O son of man, dig now in the wall
And when I had dug in the wall, behold, a door. And he said to me, go in and see the wicked abominations that they do there. So I went in, and I saw, and behold, every form of creeping thing and abominable beast, and all the idols of the house of Israel portrayed upon the wall all around. And there stood before them 70 men of the elders of the house of Israel, the leadership. And in the middle of them stood Yazaniah, the son of Shaphan, every man with his censer in his hand. And the odor of the cloud of incense went up. And we know that the incense represents the prayers that are going up to Yahweh. But their prayers weren't going to Yahweh because they were praying to idols. Then said he to me, son of man, have you seen what the elders of the house of Israel do in the dark? Every man in the chambers of his imagery. For they say, Yahweh sees us not. Yahweh has forsaken the land. He said also to me, you shall again see yet other great abominations which they do. Then he brought of Yahweh's house, which was toward the north, and behold, there sat the women weeping the Tammuz. Then said he to me, have you seen this, O son of man? You shall again see yet greater abominations than these. And see, these things are getting ready to come upon us with the paganism for Easter. Verse 16, and he brought me to the inner court of Yahweh's house, the temple. And behold, at the door of the temple of Yahweh, between the porch and the altar, were about 25 men with their backs toward the temple of Yahweh and their faces toward the east. They were worshiping the sun toward the east. And we know this Easter sunrise services, there are going to be many people doing this. Many people who are wrapped up in this idolatry. Then he said to me, have you seen this, O son of man? Is it a light thing to the house of Judah that they commit the abominations which they commit here? For they have filled the land with violence, and have turned again to provoke me to anger. And lo, they put the branch to their nose. Therefore will I also deal in wrath. My eyes shall not spare, neither will I have pity. And though they cry in my ears with a loud voice, I will not hear them. And Yahweh's not going to hear them because of their sin. We have to be repentant sinners, brethren. Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 23. And the word of Yahweh came to me, saying, son of man, say to her, you are a land that is not cleansed, nor rained upon in the day of indignation. There is a conspiracy of her prophets in the middle of it, like a roaring lion ravening the prey. They have devoured souls. They take treasure and precious things. They have made her widows many in the middle of it. Her priests have done violence to my law and have profaned my holy things. They have made no distinction between the holy and the common. Neither have they caused men to discern between the unclean and the clean, and have hid their eyes from my Sabbaths. And I am profaned among them. Her princes in the middle of it are like wolves ravening the prey, to shed blood and to destroy souls, that they may get dishonest gain. And her prophets have daubed it for them with untempered mortar, seeing false visions and divining lies to them, saying, in this manner says the sovereign Yahweh, when Yahweh has not spoken, the people of the land have used oppression and exercised robbery. Yes, they have vexed the poor and the needy, and have oppressed the sojourner wrongfully. And I sought for a man among them that should build up the wall and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. Therefore have I poured out my indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. For their own way have I brought upon their heads, says the sovereign Yahweh. Because they went into idolatry, brethren. We can't go into idolatry. We must trust in Yahweh and keep all of his covenant laws. Turn to Leviticus chapter 19. Leviticus 19, we'll start in verse 1. And Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, speak to all the congregation of the children of Israel, and say to them, you shall be holy. For I, Yahweh, your Elohim, am holy. Every man of you shall fear his mother and his father. You shall keep my Sabbaths. That's plural. Not just the weekly Sabbath, the high Sabbaths as well. I am Yahweh, your Elohim. Turn not to idols, nor make to yourselves molten Elohim. I am Yahweh, your Elohim.
Yahweh is good, brethren. And all the time.
Yahweh is good.
All right. I love it. Let's go over to
Matthew. No, I'm sorry. Stay in Leviticus 17. Leviticus 19, verses 17 and 18. Same chapter. You shall not hate your brother in your heart. You shall surely rebuke your neighbor and not bear sin because of him. You shall not take vengeance nor bear any grudge against the children of your people. But you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am Yahweh. We can't have grudges against each other, brethren. That's why Matthew 18 is there. Now, we're going to go to Matthew 18. We're going to go to Matthew 23. But if there's a problem between brethren, what do we have to do? We have to solve it. We're supposed to go, according to Matthew 18, 1, go to your brother, you know, with whatever the issue is, and solve it. That's what it says. We solve it. You know, and if we can't solve it, then we take one or two more and try to solve the problem. See, if we do the scriptures, if we follow what the scriptures teach, we don't have these problems. They're eliminated. But when we go around and try to, you know, sidestep them, we're not going to solve our problem. They're going to stay with us. In Matthew 23, verse 1, it says, then spoke Yahshua to the multitudes and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and Pharisees sit on Moses' seat. All things, therefore, whatever they bid you, these do and observe, but do not you after their works, for they say and do not. Yes, they bind heavy burdens, grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with their finger. But all their works they do to be seen of men. That's what they want. They want to receive the praise of men. For they make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments and love the chief place at feasts and the chief seats in the synagogues and the salutations in the marketplaces and to be called of men rabbi. But be not you called rabbi, for one is your teacher and all you are brethren. And call no man your father on the earth, for one is your father, even he who is in heaven. Neither be you called masters, for one is your master, even the Messiah. But he that is great among you shall be your servant. And that's hard for people to do, to serve one another. But we're getting ready to do that with the foot washing at the Passover. We have to serve one another. This is what Yahweh wants us to do. And whoever shall exalt himself shall be humbled, and whoever shall humble himself shall be exalted. This is what Yahweh wants from his people. Matthew 16. Matthew 16, verse 21. From that time began Yahshua to show to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and the third day be raised up. And Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, "Be it far from you, Master. This shall never be to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get you behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you mind not the things of Yahweh, but the things of men." We can't do that, brethren. We can't mind the things of this world. We have to be concerned with the things of Yahweh. Then said Yahshua to his disciples, "If any man would come after me, let him deny himself. Let him take up his burden and follow me. For whoever would save his life shall lose it, and whoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what shall a man be profited if he shall gain the whole world and forfeit his life? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his life? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels. And then shall he render to every man according to his deeds," according to their works. "Truly I say to you, there are some of them that stand here who shall certainly not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." And then right after that, they had a chance to see the vision, and that's what he was talking about, that they would be able to see that vision that's in 17, verse 9 to 13. Brethren,
Yahweh is good.
All the time.
And all the time.
Yahweh is good.
Hallelujah. Philippians chapter 3. Verse 17, Philippians 3:17. It says, "Brethren, be you imitators together of me." And this is Paul. "And mark them that so walk even as you have us for an example. For many walk of whom I told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the torture stake and of the Messiah, whose end is perdition, whose mighty one is the belly, and whose glory is their shame, who mine earthly things." They're not concerned with the kingdom. They may say they are, but they're not. "For our citizenship is in heaven, from where we also wait for a Savior, the sovereign Yahshua the Messiah, who shall fashion anew the body of our humiliation, that it may be conformed to the body of his glory, according to the working by which he is able even to subject all things to himself." And we know that Yahshua has had the success. He's had the victory over Satan. He's got the victory over this world. We already know that if we just follow him to the end, we will share in that victory. 1 John chapter 5, 1 John 5, verse 18, it says, "We know that whoever is begotten of Yahweh sins not, but he that was begotten of Yahweh keeps himself, and the evil one touches him not. We know that we are of Yahweh, and the whole world lies in the evil one. And we know that the Son of Yahweh has come and has given us an understanding that we might know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Yahshua the Messiah. This is the true Elohim and eternal life. My little children, guard yourself from idols." Guard yourself from idols. Cannot be said any easier. And in 1 John chapter 2, verse 4, it says, he that says, I know him and keeps not his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him the love of Yahweh has truly been perfected. By this we know that we are in him. He that says he remains in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. And we know how Yahshua walked. Yahshua didn't violate the covenant. He overcame Satan. Revelation chapter 13. Revelation chapter 13. We're going to start in verse 1. And he stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast coming up out of the sea, having 10 horns and 7 heads, and on his horns 10 diadems, and upon his heads the names of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power, and his throne, and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as though it had been struck to death, and his death stroke was healed. And the whole earth wondered after the beast. And they worshiped the dragon, because he gave his authority to the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like the beast, and who is able to war with him? And there was given to him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And there was given to him authority to continue 42 months, 3.5 years, brethren. And he opened his mouth for blasphemies against Yahweh, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle, even them that dwell in heaven. And it was given to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And there was given to him authority over every tribe and people and tongue and nation. And all that dwell on the earth shall worship him, everyone whose name has not been written from the foundation of the world in the book of life of the Lamb that has been killed. Yahweh is good, brethren.
All the time.
And all the time.
Yahweh is good.
Praise Yahweh. I'm going to read that again in verse, well, let me continue on. It says in verse 8, and all that dwell on the earth shall worship him, and that's the beast, everyone whose name has not been written from the foundation of the world in the book of life of the Lamb that has been killed. If you're in idolatry, you're going to worship the beast. If any man has an ear, let him hear. If any man is for captivity, into captivity he goes. If any man shall kill with the sword he must be killed. Here is the patience and faith of the saints. And I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had 2 horns like a lamb, and he spoke as a dragon, and he exercises all authority of the first beast in his sight, and he makes the earth and them that dwell in it to worship the first beast, whose death stroke was healed. And he does great signs that he should even make fire come down out of heaven upon the earth in the sight of men. And he deceives them that dwell on the earth by reason of the signs. We cannot be deceived by those signs, brethren, because we know what Yahweh has in store, which it was given to him to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast, an idol, who has the stroke of the sword and lives. And it was given to him to give breath to it, to that idol, even to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as should not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Just like Daniel, who would not, or the 3 young men who would not bow down to Nebuchadnezzar's idol. And in verse 16, and he causes all the small and the great and the rich and the poor and the free and the bond, that there be given to them a mark on their right hand and on their forehead, and that no man should be able to buy or sell except he that has the mark, even the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom, he that has understanding. Let him count the number of the beast, for it is the number of man. And his number is 666. Revelation 7. I'm going to read the first four verses. Revelation 7, verse 1. It says, after this I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that no wind should blow on the earth, or on the sea, or upon any tree. And I saw another angel ascend from the sun rising, having the seal of the living Elohim. And he cried with a great voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, do not hurt the earth, neither the sea nor the trees, until we have sealed the servants of our Elohim on their foreheads. And I heard the number of them that were sealed, 144,000 sealed out of every tribe of the children of Israel. Okay? Yahweh has his mark, his seal on his people, just like Satan has the mark of the beast on his people. Revelation chapter 8. In verse 1 it says, and when he opened the seventh seal, there followed a silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. And I saw the seven angels that stand before Yahweh, and there was given to them seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood over the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given to him much incense, that he should add it to the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints went up before Yahweh out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer, and he filled it with the fire of the altar and cast it upon the earth. And there followed thunders and voices and lightnings and earthquakes. But see, that incense, those prayers of the saints are powerful. See? Yahweh is concerned over his people. And you know why he's concerned?
Because Yahweh is good.
All the time.
And all the time.
Yahweh is good.
Verse 6. And the seven angels that had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound, and the first sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood. And they were cast upon the earth. And the third part of the earth was burnt up. And the third part of the trees were burnt up. And all the green grass was burnt up. And the second angel sounded. And it was, as it were, a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea. And the third part of the sea became blood. And there died of the third part of the creatures which were in the sea, even they that had life. And the third part of the ships were destroyed. And the third angel sounded, and there fell from heaven a great star burning as a torch. And it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of the waters. And the name of the star was called Wormwood. And the third part of the waters became wormwood. And many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. And the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was struck. And the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars, and the third part of them that should be darkened, and the day should not shine for the third part of it, and the night in the same manner. And I saw and heard an eagle flying mid heaven, saying with a great voice, woe, 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 for them that dwell on the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpets of the three angels who are yet to sound. chapter 9. I'm going to continue. In verse 1. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star from heaven fall into the earth. And there was given to him the key of the pit of the abyss. And he opened the pit of the abyss, and there went up smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And out of the smoke came forth locusts upon the earth, and power was given them, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was said to them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only such men that have not the seal of Yahweh on their foreheads. So if they had the mark of the beast, they were game. But if they had the seal of Yahweh, couldn't touch them. But that they should be tormented 5 months, and their torment was the torment of a scorpion when it strikes a man. And in those days men shall seek death and shall in no way find it. And they shall desire to die, and death flees from them. And the shapes of the locusts were like the horses prepared for war, and upon their heads as it were crowns like gold. And their faces were as men's faces, and they had hair and the hair of women, as the hair of women, and their teeth was like the teeth of lions. And they had breastplates, as it were the breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots, and many horses rushing to war. And they have tails like scorpions, and sting, and in their tails is their power to hurt men 5 months. They have over them as a king the angel of the abyss. His name in Hebrew is Abaddon, and in the Greek language he has the name Apollyon. The first woe is past. Behold, there are yet two woes after this. And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the horns of the golden altar, which is before Yahweh, one saying to the sixth angel that he had the trumpet, loose the four angels that abound at the great river Euphrates. And the four angels were loosed that had been prepared for the hour and the day and the month and the year that they should kill the third part of men. And the number of the armies of the horsemen was twice 10,000 times 10,000. That's 200 million, brethren. That's a lot of people. And thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them having the breastplates of fire and of hyacinth and of brimstone, and the heads of the horses are as the heads of lions. And out of their mouths proceed fire and smoke and brimstone. By these three plagues was the third part of men killed, by the fire and the smoke and the brimstone, which proceeded out of their mouths. For the power of the horses are in their mouth and in their tails, for their tails are like serpents and have heads. And with them they hurt. And the rest of mankind who were not killed with these plagues repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship demons. And the idols of gold and of silver and of brass and of stone and of wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk. And they repented not of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. Tim Tebow seems to be very thankful for his blessing. How often do we count our blessings, brethren? How often? After services, I want you to sit down and write a list of all your blessings and what you're thankful for. Almighty Yahweh has given us so much love, brethren, and knowledge of his holiness and the great relationship between Yahshua and himself. I want to read something from a book that I'm reading. It's called The Good and Beautiful G.O.D. On page 78, it says, the misunderstood biblical narrative of earning. Not only our world and our culture, but also the Bible itself is used to support the earning favored narrative. The Israelites are punished and sent into exile by Yahweh for their disobedience. David's illegitimate child dies, presumably because it was conceived in an act of adultery. Yet there is a larger narrative that should guide our understanding of these stories. The Israelites were chosen by Yahweh for no apparent reason and were delivered from bondage into a land of milk and honey, despite having done nothing to deserve it. David's act of adultery and murder should have resulted in his own death, but instead he became a man after Yahweh's own heart. David has another son, Solomon, by the same woman with whom he committed adultery, and Solomon becomes wise, powerful, and wealthy. To say that sin has consequences is different than saying that because of our sin, Yahweh entirely rejects us. Even though we can find a few narratives of earning from select Bible passages, there is only enough cloth to make a small quilt of guilt and fear. The larger narrative from the biblical story is a massive tapestry of grace and generosity. Yahweh bends down and makes clothes for the newly fallen Adam and Eve. Yahweh chooses a whining and adulterous band of nomads who frequently go after other mighty ones, and yet Yahweh never gives up on them. The psalmist proclaims the deepest truth about Yahweh: his steadfast love endures forever. The Hebrew word we translate steadfast love, which is hesed, occurs 147 times in Psalms, each time to describe the nature of Yahweh. Oh, give thanks to Yahweh of heaven, for his steadfast love endures forever, which is from Psalm 136, 26. And I've chosen to end this message in Psalm 136. And I want all of us to turn to that, because that itself is a call and response psalm. I'm going to read the first part, and I want you to respond with, "For his loving kindness endures forever." In Psalm 136, and we'll read the whole psalm, it says, "Oh, give thanks to Yahweh, for he is good.
For his loving kindness endures forever.
Oh, give thanks to the Elohim of Elohim.
For his loving kindness endures forever.
Oh, give thanks to the Sovereign of Rulers.
For his loving kindness endures forever.
To him who alone does great wonders.
For his loving kindness endures forever.
To him that by understanding made the heavens.
For his loving kindness endures forever.
To him that spread forth the earth above the waters.
For his loving kindness endures forever.
To him that made great lights.
For his loving kindness endures forever.
The sun to rule by day.
For his loving kindness endures forever.
The moon and the stars to rule by night.
For his loving kindness endures forever.
To him that struck Egypt and their firstborn.
For his loving kindness endures forever.
And brought out Israel from among them.
For his loving kindness endures forever.
With a strong hand and with an outstretched arm.
For his loving kindness endures forever.
To him that divided the Red Sea into parts.
For his loving kindness endures forever.
And made Israel to pass through the middle of it.
For his loving kindness endures forever.
But overthrew Pharaoh and the host in the Red Sea.
For his loving kindness endures forever.
To him that led the people through the wilderness.
For his loving kindness endures forever.
To him that struck great kings.
For his loving kindness endures forever.
And killed famous kings.
For his loving kindness endures forever.
Sihon, king of the Amorites.
For his loving kindness endures forever.
And Og, king of Bashan.
For his loving kindness endures forever.
And gave their land for heritage.
For his loving kindness endures forever.
Even a heritage to Israel, his servant.
For his loving kindness endures forever.
Who remembered us in our lowest state.
For his loving kindness endures forever.
And has delivered us from our adversaries.
For his loving kindness endures forever.
Who gives food to all flesh.
For his loving kindness endures forever.
Who gives thanks to the El of heaven.
For his loving kindness endures forever.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And in Psalm 136, the first verse, it says, "Oh, give thanks to Yahweh, for he is good." Brethren, Yahweh is good.
All the time.
And all the time.
Yahweh is good.
May Almighty Yahweh bless each and every one of us as we seek his grace, as we seek his blessing, as we try our best to overcome Satan the devil. Every day he tries to take us away from Yahweh. Because we know that Yahweh has given us the things that will take us to his kingdom. See, Tim Tebow is just a symbol. Even though, like I said, he's a Christian, maybe one day Yahweh will bring him around. But he shows us something, that he has a relationship with his mighty one. We have to have a greater relationship with Almighty Yahweh, because truly we know that Almighty Yahweh is our mighty one and that he is good. At this time, I'd like to ask Brother. Go ahead.
All the time.
Yes, he is. I want Brother Willie to close with a word of prayer.
Father Yahweh, we pause on this Sabbath day to give you thanks and praise for the wonderful message, Father. Your love and kindness do endure forever, Father, because you forgive us daily for our past sins, Father. We make mistakes, Father, and you pick us up and shake us off, and your love and kindness do endure forever, Father. Bless this ministry. Bless your people where they are gathered, Father. And most of all, keep us united and keep us mindful of that goal, Father. We must continue to fight daily for our salvation, Father. We must continue to keep you in the forefront of our mind, Father. Your commandments and your laws, Father, are there for our behalf, Father. Without your laws, there would be no sin, Father. Strengthen us. And most of all, keep us dedicated, Father. We ask this in your son's name, Yahshua. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
This time we're gonna sing for a closing song, Amazing Grace. That's number 63 in the songbook. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saves a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now was blind, but now I see. Was grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear. I first believed. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come for our benediction. Turn to page 132. And we're going to read Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 5 through 8. That's page 132, Deuteronomy 4, verses 5 through 8, ending with hallelujah. Behold, I have taught you statutes and ordinances, even as Yahweh my Elohim commanded me, that you should do so in the land where you go in to possess it. Keep therefore and do them. For this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the peoples that shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what great nation is there that has an Elohim so near to them as Yahweh our Elohim is when we call upon him? And what great nation is there that has statutes and ordinances as righteous as all this law, which I set before you this day? Hallelujah. May Almighty Yahweh bless you as you continue to serve him.
Hallelujah. Enjoyed the message, Greg.
Well, praise Yahweh. It was his. He gave it. You said something earlier about idolatry, and I thought you had a little insight of what was going on. So he wanted that to be preached. So, because too often we get sidetracked, it seems, and caught up in this, what's going on in the world.
Amen.
So just get ready. We'll be coming down your way for services. Try to get
okay.
you some people lined up.
Okay.
We'll
be ready. Pardon me.
I said we had quite a few on a video hookup today.
Oh, well, praise Yahweh. Hallelujah.
Yeah. Eight on the video hookup. That's good.
Well, Yahweh bless them all continually.
Carl said, have a blessed Sabbath. Thank you, Carl.
Thank you, Carol. Yahweh bless you. Is Gail there with her?
Yes, she is.
Yeah, Yahweh bless you, Carol and Gail. I'm going to say shalom, Shabbat, everyone. Have a great Sabbath afternoon. Yahweh bless you all.
Well, Yahweh bless you too. Well, thank you for joining us.
Oh, praise Yahweh. I wouldn't want to be anyplace else other than praising Yahweh. You all have a blessed, wonderful week in Yahshua's name.
All right.
Shalom.
Shalom.
Shalom, Brenda.
Wanda Panero is on. Yeah, she was on the phone. Yeah, not on the video. Can you see everybody that's on the video?
You can the name, yeah.
Yeah.
Donna, Marie,
Ms. Walker, who else?
Ms. Marie. Can you see what I, you can listen to my company, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about, yeah, I think this song is fine. I was like, I said, you know what? I'm hoping all can see for the family after she was home. And Donna, I saw she comes to Catherine. She said, because of how her mother did. I said, let her know if we can do something else. What happened to your mother?
Serious surgery.
I know she came, it was about her eyes, right? She came to the Baltimore School.
But she had something else before that.
Yeah, the 24th, since Earth over, you're coming home, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, things like that, I just like, hmm. And she's just moving. I said, then you can imagine, like, I'm moving. I said, no, go on, I'll get on that.
Hey, I know, we gotta keep things.